I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
What a blessing to have the assurance that our lives are grounded on the everlasting rock. And what a blessing to have you join me for the Voice of Hope today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Let's worship with the chorale as they sing, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, joyful. Sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works rejoice around me, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around the center of field and forest, hill and mountain, blossoming meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou the Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lifts us onward in the triumph song.
Last week on The Voice of Hope, we were studying from Daniel chapter 4. The title of our study was, The Most High Rules. Chapter 4 of Daniel records the second dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, a dream about a great tree. In our previous study, I said there were several events that led King Nebuchadnezzar to acknowledge that the Most High rules. I also said, that is a truth that you and I and every human being must ultimately recognize. The first two events we looked at in the previous study were a tranquil kingdom and a terrifying dream. Nebuchadnezzar's realm was secure and prosperous. He was surrounded by the visible evidence of his wealth and power. He was comfortable. But then he had a dream. I guess we could call it a nightmare. Because when he got awake, he was scared stiff. He believed the gods were sending him a message, and he needed someone to tell him what that message was. His wise men and his counselors couldn't interpret the dream, but there was someone he knew who could explain the dream to him. So he called for Daniel. Last week, we read the first 18 verses of Daniel chapter 4. Today, we'll pick up our reading at verse 18 and read to the end of the chapter. So listen carefully as I read Daniel chapter 4 and verses 18 to 34 from the New King James Version. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which there was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field, till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord, the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you, after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, What have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor, my splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. That leads us to the next event, which is the troubling interpretation. Daniel is introduced earlier in the chapter in verses 8 and 9. Of all King Nebuchadnezzar's wise men, only Daniel has the ability to correctly interpret dreams. Now, why Daniel wasn't summoned first, we can only guess. Perhaps the king realized that the frightening dream didn't portend well for him. Or perhaps, as I suggested earlier, the king still hoped to salvage the reputation of his gods as being more powerful than Jehovah. Some readers may question why Nebuchadnezzar uses Daniel and Belteshazzar in his communique. Well, remember, this report is going to the whole world, while actually just those parts under the king's authority. So using both names, the Hebrew and the Chaldean, would have clarified across the empire exactly who was being spoken about. The king expresses confidence in Daniel's ability to interpret the dream because the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. When Daniel hears the details of the king's dream, he's deeply troubled and is silent for a considerable period of time. The ASV renders it this way, stricken dumb for a while. He didn't want to tell the king the meaning of the dream. And so as the king observed Daniel's demeanor, he came to his rescue. He said, Belteshazzar, don't let the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Daniel's response shows his high regard for the king. He said, My lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies. Then Daniel interprets the dream in verses 20 to 26. To begin, he rehearses the dream scene by scene to let the king know that he's completely understood what he's been told. That assures Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel is accurately interpreting the dream. Daniel identifies the tree as representing the king. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. Daniel then goes on to rehearse the appearance of the Watcher, the Holy One, coming down with the heavenly decree in all of its details. I believe Daniel reluctantly tells the king that he will be driven out of his palace and take his place with the beasts of the field. He will eat grass like an ox, and he will be wet with each morning dew. This condition will last until 7 periods of time, most likely 7 years, pass over him. All of this is to bring the king to the place where he knows experientially that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, and he gives those kingdoms to whomever he wills. Daniel further assures the king that the command to leave the stump of the tree in the earth means the kingdom will be eventually restored to him. Nebuchadnezzar, in spite of his pride, was to know the graciousness of God in his own experience. In verse 27, Daniel, in his love for the king, issues an appeal to him. He urges Nebuchadnezzar to break off his sins and to practice righteousness. No doubt, the king had been cruel and morally wicked to those that he ruled over. He most likely exploited people in the building of his magnificent city. Most kings, like Nebuchadnezzar, had little regard for the value of human life. Daniel calls the king to renounce his iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. He says, If you do these things, God may lengthen your prosperous reign. You know, this appeal should be a warning to each of us. We too often walk in pride. But God is willing to extend grace to us when we repent and acknowledge our complete dependence on Him. He wants us to acknowledge Him and to live in service to others. Sadly, the king accepted Daniel's interpretation, but he failed to accept Daniel's counsel. That leads us to the next event, which is the tormented existence. 1 year has passed since Nebuchadnezzar's strange dream and Daniel's interpretation of that dream. The king is walking in his palace, one of his crowning architectural achievements. As he looks out over the magnificent city, his heart swells with pride. Is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? Babylon was a magnificent city. Its outer wall was wide enough for two chariots to pass each other on its top. Nebuchadnezzar built great fortifications and canals through the city to increase commerce. Nearly 50 different buildings with his inscription have been uncovered, and even secular history records the king's pride in his city. In one of his prayers to the god Marduk, he says this, "Like dear life, I love thy exalted lodging place. In no place have I made a town more glorious than thy city of Babylon." While the king could have justly felt a sense of accomplishment in all of this beauty, he forgot that none of it would be possible apart from God's sovereign will. As the king was speaking these words of pride, a voice from heaven fell on his ears. "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." Immediately the king was stricken with boanthropy. This is a recognized mental illness where the victim believes he or she is a bovine, and they act accordingly. So the king was driven from the palace to begin his season of insanity. One of the interesting things about this disease is that the person who is suffering from it still retains an inner consciousness. And we see that consciousness in King Nebuchadnezzar later in the chapter. What a picture this is of the destructive nature of pride. From the royal throne of the world's mightiest kingdom at the time, to the royal pasture in a heartbeat. From a well-manicured, perfumed monarch to a dirty, smelly ox. From a position of being waited upon hand and foot to a position where you're tolerated and mostly just ignored. From one who had no use for the Most High to the lowest of men. We can only imagine the appearance of Nebuchadnezzar as the months passed over him, hair like eagle's feathers, nails like a bird of prey. What a come down from such an exalted position. But you know, pride is the root of all sin. It was the sin that got Lucifer in trouble, the focus on I. How many men in positions of responsibility and authority have become enamored with power? And how many, like Nebuchadnezzar, have boasted in their accomplishments, forgetting the God who is the giver of everything? God is still humbling proud people today. So be careful. Be careful to give God his glory and thank him that you can be his servant. Nebuchadnezzar's tormented existence leads us to the final event, which is the transformed heart. This final part of the narrative is written in the first person. The king is speaking directly of his own experiences, and he uses the personal pronoun, I. So here's the king, out in the field, behaving like an ox. His focus is on the ground and what he can find to eat. And yet he isn't totally devoid of reason. Notice that at the end of the 7 years, what does he do? He lifts his eyes toward heaven. His inner consciousness motivated him to recognize the power of the Most High. His powers of reasoning were fully restored. His experience reminds us that the first step in repentance is to lift our eyes toward heaven, to get our focus off ourselves and to look to God. It's important for us to note the connection here between the exercise of faith and the return of reason. While he was full of his own importance, Nebuchadnezzar's world revolved around him and around what he wanted. It didn't strike him how unrealistic this was until he was brought low by illness. Sanity begins with a realistic self-appraisal. As a result of his experiences, He blesses God and he offers praise to the one who lives forever and ever. He recognizes that God is sovereign over all things, including the kingdoms of the world. No one has the authority to ask God, "What are you doing?" And no one can stop him from accomplishing his plans. Now, we can't determine with absolute certainty from this account whether Nebuchadnezzar fully embraced faith in Jehovah God or not, but we certainly must admit that possibility. He confesses that God is eternal, that he has an everlasting dominion, and that he rules over a kingdom that endures from generation to generation. This is more than what he ever attributed to the gods of Babylon. He states that God's omniscience enables him to view the inhabitants of the earth as nothing. His statement reminds me of Isaiah 40, verse 15, where God regards the nations as a drop of water that falls from a bucket into the dust and disappears, or like the light film of dust that lays on the balance scales. Evidently, the king's counselors had kept watch over him during this time of insanity, and they immediately noticed the change in him. His kingdom and his officials were restored to him with additional majesty and glory. He praised and honored and extolled the true God as the King of heaven, whose works are truth and whose ways are justice. His final statement is made with the authority of experience. Those who walk in pride, God is able to humble. My friend, have you experienced the reality of this truth, that the Most High God rules? Do you see his hand at work in history and in the present? The most important question is this one. Does the Most High God rule in your life? You see, the reality is the Most High rules. He rules over all, over the lives of believer and unbeliever alike. The difference is, do we acknowledge that rule and willingly submit to it? If we do not submit to God's rule, then we can expect God to allow experiences into our lives to break our will and to make us willing to submit to him. The other choice is to submit voluntarily and bypass the pain of being involuntarily broken. What will your choice be?
The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Keep silence.
Thank you, men. Now, if you'd like a copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Most High Rules. It's available to you either on an audio CD or in print. And the easiest way for you to make a request is by using our email address, hope at heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and listen to today's teaching at your convenience. That teaching is titled, The Most High Rules. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We love to hear from you, our listeners. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org, by mail at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can partner with us. You can also listen to archived programming when you visit the website. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I'll look for you next week, my friend. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the book of Daniel. And until we meet again, think about this question.